guess I preach more evangelistically, and tonight I want to be a pastor, okay? I want to preach pastoral tonight, okay? Can I do that and preach to you? Now, that means I'm going to preach to you, okay? And so, if you'll pay attention, this, and here's something maybe you don't know. When a pastor studies to preach, you know who he's preaching to first?
Yep.
I got to hear it first. Amen. And so let's read Psalm 37, verse 4. Delight thyself also in the Lord, and he shall give thee the desires of thine heart.
Amen.
I have a question. Why do we have strife in our life? Why do we have strife in our church? Why do we have strife in our home? Why do we have strife on the job? Why do we have strife in the nation? There's one answer to every one of those. And you say, well, it was unfaithfulness. It was a lie. It was this and that. No, it's every bit of it is one answer. Psalm 37:4 says, delight thyself also in the Lord, delight in him, and he shall give thee the desires of thy heart. John 15:7, if you'll turn over there with me, John 15:7. And while you're turning there, I'll tell you Romans 8:28, all things work together for the good of them that love God, them that's called according to his purpose. All things work together. All things work together. And then in John 15:7, it says, if you abide in me and my words abide in you, ye shall ask what you will and it shall be done unto you. If you abide in me and my words abide in you, he said, you ask what you will and it will be done. Now, the reason we have strife, think about this. Is something didn't happen the way we thought it should. Or somebody didn't respond the way we thought they should. Yeah. Or unfulfilled appetites or unfulfilled desires. Something happened the way you didn't want it to happen, or somebody said something the way you didn't want it said, or somebody did something, or the church did something, or the pastor did something, or the government did something. We had a desire to receive something that we didn't receive. Maybe it was respect, maybe it was honor, maybe it was something we were asking for, or maybe we had a desire to be treated a particular way, and we were not treated that way. Y'all see what I'm saying? And so we had disappointment because of that. In other words, if we do not receive the thing or the treatment that we wanted, we have strife. We don't get along. And the only secret to avoiding strife, listen to this now, remember, undesired, something didn't happen the way you wanted it to happen. You wanted something that didn't come. You wanted somebody, and so you had an unfulfilled desire or appetite. Now here's how you fix strife. Have sanctified, holy appetites or desires.
Amen.
Sanctify. I mean, you've set your desires or your appetite, what you want, made it toward God. You sanctified it. You set that appetite. Maybe a woman's looking for a husband. Well, that's her desire. That's her appetite. Well, she needs to sanctify that by going through the Lord for that. Y'all see what I'm saying? Maybe you want money. Maybe you want a position. Maybe you want a car, a house, or something. You want something. Well, the way not to have strife is to sanctify that motive or that desire. Make it a Christ-like motive or desire. Are y'all still with me?
Yes, sir.
Now, so I looked up the definition of riches in the Webster Dictionary. It said the balancing of wants and possessions. That's one of the definitions. The balancing of wants and possessions. In other words, there's two ways to be rich. Being able to afford what you want, which there's very few people in the world, because you'll always want more. Being able to afford what you want, or wanting only what you can afford.
Yes.
If I'm going to have a fulfilled appetite, say I want a car, and I want a 2021 Dodge. No, Charger's got four doors.
Challenger
Hellcat. Not Caravan. 640 horsepower. But I can't afford that. That's $100,000. So I get a six-cylinder Challenger instead. And I make that my desire instead of the $100,000 challenge. You think people ain't paying that? Sure they are. Right now, a new Corvette costs you about $90,000. And I see them on the road, and I wonder who is the sucker. I mean, who's the man that bought that thing? You know. So there's two ways to be rich. Either being able to afford what you want, and very few people are able to do that. And if you are, you'll never be satisfied. All these rich people are never satisfied. Or wanting only what you can afford. You're rich if you can afford what you want, or you only want what you can afford. Then that makes you rich because you have what you desire.
Yes.
So you're rich. Now, compared to some people, the world may look at me or you and say, well, you're not rich. But if we sanctify our motives, we set it apart and say, well, I want to be in the will of God with this, and this is what I can afford, and I'm not going to go past that. Then God smiles on that, and I'm rich. I have what I want.
Amen.
And I'm still in the will of God, so therefore I don't have strife. Or I can go spend $90,000 on a Corvette, and me and my wife fight.
Yeah.
Because I couldn't take it with me, we never would get it. Me and my wife would fight for the next 20 years while I tried to pay that thing off. So, most people are never able to get what they want. Because if you get what, if you can get anything you want, you've got an unrestrained appetite. And that fleshly appetite will never be satisfied. He'll never be satisfied. So we balance our appetite to become rich by asking God to sanctify our desire. God, I need a car. So God, make my heart desire the car that you can give me. Right?
Yes.
Or if a woman needs a husband, well, Lord, I need a husband. So give me the husband, the kind of husband you would want me to have.
Yes.
Or vice versa, a man needs a wife. Or whatever it might be. Psalm 34:7, he's saying, delight in him, our desires will become equal to our possessions. Go back and look at it again. Psalm 34:7-4, delight thyself also in the Lord, sanctify, and he shall give thee the desires of thine heart. In other words, he will implant his desire in your heart. He will give you the desire.
Amen.
Yes. And you'll be satisfied.
Yes.
Now, if you go against the desire that he puts in your heart, you're going to have what?
Strife.
John 15:7, he says, if we live through him, our appetites will be sanctified, and he'll give us what we ask because he knows that we're only going to ask what he wills. So whatever you ask, according to John 15:7, it's not like the charismatic on TV where he says, just call out anything you want and God will give it to you. No, if you delight yourself in him and you sanctify your motive and you put it all on him, then he'll give you whatever you pray for because he's the one that's putting the prayer in you to start with. And then you're happy. You're satisfied. Amen. Now, if you think you can satisfy that the flesh of yours without God, you know, when I was a kid, We only got meat on Sunday.
Right.
And usually that was a dead yard bird. And I got to where I just hated to eat chicken. I don't like it a whole lot now. I'll eat the dark meat if you know, I'm not complaining when I eat it. But then, every once in a while we'd have meatloaf, but Mama didn't ever have enough money to buy enough meatloaf to feed us, so she always saved the heels of the bread. Y'all know what the heels are, the ends. And she would save the ends of the loaf bread until she got a whole loaf of heels, and then she'd take a pound of hamburger meat and break those into chunks, not grind it, but break it into chunks and mix it in with, and it looked like 2 pounds of hamburger meat. But it tasted just like hamburger meat because it's full of hamburger juice, you know. And so she'd make a meatloaf out of bread and meatloaf and we were happy. That satisfied us until I got old enough to go to work and I found out you could get meatloaf without bread in it. That shocked me. You can get meatloaf without bread in it. And then the old flesh didn't want bread in his meatloaf anymore. And he didn't want chicken every Sunday, you know. But I got news for you. You will never satisfy your flesh. Did you know Romans 8:28 says all things work together for the good of them that love God, them that's called to your purpose, to his purpose. Did you know that everybody has the same things happen to them? Everybody. And we say, well, you know, all things work together for the good of them that love God, them that's called according to his purpose. Like you're the only one this has ever happened to. This has happened to everybody.
Yeah.
The only difference is now God is in your things.
Yes.
Right. Amen. God's in your things. So they don't cause strife because God's in that. God's in the sickness. God's in the disappointment. God's in the failure. God's in these things. And therefore it doesn't cause strife. Now before you were saved, God wasn't in your these things.
Amen.
And it caused strife. So, y'all want me to go back preaching like I was this morning, wouldn't you? Now, listen. I wrote myself a note so I wouldn't forget. Same things happen to all people. It's in what you desire that determines how you see it, good or bad. Not anybody gets everything they want. Amen. But the reason you said thank you is because you've made that your desire to get what he wants, not what you want. And so you see, even though we go through tragedy and hurt and pain and failure, and we go through victories and great times, all mankind does that. The difference is what you desire, how you see it. How do you see what you're going through? If all things work together for the good of them that's called, now, how do you see it? You wouldn't see some things good if you were not saved.
Amen.
You'd see some things bad. Don't have strife, you just don't possess appetites that can't be fulfilled. Don't have expectations of people that you know they can't fulfill your expectations. We want what we give. If I got an appetite to be loved, then I have to love. Nobody can love you or give you the love you want from them the way you would do it, so don't expect it. Sometimes I get mad at my wife and I don't tell her because I think, well, she knows and she should have known that and she knows that, but she doesn't know that. I know that. I had the expectation. She didn't even know I had the expectation. And sometimes she gets mad at me and says, well, you, I didn't know. I didn't know. And so, Nobody can love you or give you the love you give to them. Nobody can love you the way you love them. Nobody can do that. They're not you. Don't expect anybody to be you. Is this too simple or something? Y'all sitting there looking at me like I'm... Did you know no one can treat you the way you want them to? No one. No one can treat you the way you want them to. And we'll say, well, I would have done this. Yeah, but that's you. That's not them. They're not you. But we think, like I tell you all the time, my wife, several times in earlier ministry, she'd tell me, I'd get mad at people, and I'd say, why don't they do it? The Bible says do it. Why don't they do it? Why don't they see this? And she says, they don't know what you know. You got to tell them. And no one can treat you the way you want them to. They are not you. And you got to remember that. You say, well, that's the way I treat them. That's right. That's the way you treat them. You treat them the way you want to be treated, but they're not you. They can't be you.
Amen. That's
wrong. The more you love people perfectly, the more you love people like Christ, the less it can be returned to you.
Wow.
You ever thought about that?
Yeah.
The more you love people like Christ, the less that can be returned to you. Now, if you love me like a brother, I can love you back like a brother. If you love me like a husband, I can love you back like a wife. But I can't love you like Christ loved. So I can never return the Christ love that you give to me as good as you give it to me. I can't do it. Because that's Him in you. And then Him in me will do it maybe another way to somebody else or maybe to you. But if you expect everybody to love you with that Christ love the way you try to love them, you're going to be disappointed.
Amen.
And you're going to have strife. If you expect everybody to treat you the way you would treat them and you don't understand they're not you, you will be disappointed and there'll be strife. A lot of people expect stuff out of me as pastor that I can't give them.
Come on, brother. Yeah.
They're expecting me to do what they would do if they were their pastor. And I can't do that. I can only do what I can do as the pastor. And so, there's strife. And you say they didn't react the way you thought they ought to react. Am I right?
Yes.
I've done it. You've done it.
Yes.
There's strife because we assume, Brother Ron, our wife is going to understand us and what we're saying, and she's supposed to react the way we would have reacted to us. Or vice versa, ladies.
Yes.
Vice versa. And you can't do that. Man, I can't go down your heart and your mind and I can't react to you the way you would react to me. I can't do that. And by the way, we don't know how you would react. So we don't know what you expect. So you have unachieved expectations and desires and you've got strife because you get mad because they're not doing it the way you thought they were supposed to do it. A lot of marriages, homes, relationships, churches, jobs, they have strife. And it comes down to one word, selfishness. We're selfish creatures. And we expect people to treat us like we would treat them because we're selfish. And we have a desire from people. We have expectations that they know nothing about. And when they fail us in our expectation, we get mad. This church 14 years old, and I guarantee you we've lost 50 or 60 people because they had expectations of me or somebody else in this church that we didn't even know about, and we failed on their expectation, and they got mad and left.
Yes.
You won't ever have that that problem at Elevation Church because he says he don't preach this kind of stuff. Look, we want the same kind of understanding. You can call it logic. You can call it whatever you want to do. But we want the same kind of understanding. We want everybody to understand us the way we understand them and understand everything else the way we understand everything else. But I got news for you. Women can't understand men. And men can't understand women.
Amen.
And it's not our fault. God made us this way. Adults cannot understand teenagers, and teenagers cannot understand adults, and we fuss at them, and we holler at them, and we threaten their life, and we lock them in their room, and everything else, and they say, "You just don't understand me." And I said, "Well, I know I was a teenager one time and my mama didn't understand me. I understand what you're talking about, but you're right. You've lost your mind. Come out when you get it back." Employers can't understand the employee. And it goes on and on and on. Church members can't understand the pastor. What we want others to understand and have the same kind of logic that we have. Sometimes we'll think about people, we'll think about somebody in particular, you know, in our life, and we'll say, what they're doing is just not logical. I don't understand why they do that. It never turns out right when they do that. And I don't understand that. It's not logical. There's something wrong with them. And you're right. We don't understand. Because we don't all have the same logic. We don't always look at the same things the same way. And we say, and I say it all the time, I can't understand why they don't see it my way. I'm back here tonight. I don't know why they ain't all back here. I don't understand. I'll be here Wednesday night. I don't understand why they don't show up on Wednesday night. You know. I don't understand why people don't read their Bible. I don't understand why people don't witness and hand out gospel tracts. I don't understand why these people fall into these stupid situations. Well, the reason I don't understand it, I ain't them. I've never been where they are. You know, we look at people a lot of times and we think about the people, you know, the way they act. And then I have to remind myself, I've never been home with them. I don't know what it's like. You know, the old song, "Walk a Mile in My Shoes." I can't do that. So what I do, I go by my logic and I expect them to act a certain way and they don't live up to what I expect. So I have strife with them.
Amen.
Yeah. Ladies, am I getting to you? Do y'all understand what I'm saying? Of all people in this room, women ought to understand it.
Amen.
Amen. I just don't understand. I want other people to have the same logic I do. I don't know why anybody would buy a Ford. It's just not logical. It just don't make sense. Huh?
They don't want to
walk. That's it. thank you, Brother Rod. I don't understand why you'd go to a Catholic church. I don't understand why you'd go to a dead Methodist church. I don't understand. I don't understand why people go to dead Baptist churches. I don't understand. I don't understand. So I have strife with them.
Yes.
There's a man stopped right out here the other day. I was out here working in the yard. Man stopped out here, older man, got an old Dodge pickup. One of them big old big old Dodge pickups, workhorse, you know, diesel. And he pulls up and stops, and he does that, you know, he stopped right there in the road. And so I walked over there and he said, "How you doing, preacher?" He said, "I've been wanting to talk to you for a long time. Ever since y'all moved in here, I want to tell you, that I am glad you moved in here and y'all have done a great work here and it looks so good and things look so much better than parking lot full and all this stuff, you know." Such a sweet man, a wonderful man. He said he was raised Presbyterian and raised in this church over here and then moved to another church over there. And he helped start 3 Presbyterian churches. And the man sounded like a Christian, but his diesel's running. I can't hear what he's saying. But then he says, "Were y'all Baptists? How you like that preacher on TV, that Baptist preacher on TV?" I said, "Who?" He said, "That guy over there at Elevation." Everything in me wanted to say, "You ought not be listening to that apostate." He said, "Well, he's a Southern Baptist." I said, "Well, he is." I said, and so goes the Southern Baptist. And there's so many things I want to say, and I didn't. Because he's Presbyterian, and he wouldn't understand. His logic was, "You're a Baptist, he's a Baptist, all y'all Baptists must be alike, you know." But I don't understand. I wanted to say, "I don't understand why any Baptist would go to that church." I'll give you a good example. In this church, we'll have visitors. And look, when I come to preach, I come to preach, all right? I did children's church for like 18 years. I started with like 6 or 8 and went on up to over 100, you know. And I made kids behave. I'm talking about bus kids. They behaved. Yeah. If they didn't, I called them out. And I embarrassed them. Tracy, you remember at camp, I'd say, "Get up." They'd fall asleep while I was preaching because they stayed up all night talking in their cabin. I'd say, "Stand up and get over up against that wall while I preach." Yeah. And sometimes people come and I'll say something about kids misbehaving, and a visitor thinks I shouldn't do it that way. I'll call adults down. Sometimes visitors say, "He ought not do that." Sometimes my wife tells me I ought not do that. I might ask a lady to carry a crying baby out. I might ask her just carry him out. I've asked parents not to let the kids disturb people around them. Yeah. Your mom and dad didn't let you.
No. That's right. That's right.
No.
That's right.
And then people get offended. And strife happens. Why? Because our thinking, our logic is different. Their logic is you may hurt their feelings and embarrass them and they'll never come back. Their logic is, you hurt my feelings and embarrass me, and I may never come back. My logic is, everybody in here needs to hear the message, and everybody needs to hear the Word of God undistracted.
Amen.
If the devil can put a crying baby in there, it ain't the baby's fault.
That's right.
But they need to get it out so everybody can. Crying baby don't bother me. I preached children's church for 18 years. I can preach while they do anything. I preached in nursing homes for 20 years. And I've seen them take their clothes off while I was preaching. I've had them get up and stand in front of me while I'm preaching. I've seen it all. Listen, I can out-preach anybody. I can out-preach crying baby. But the people around that crying baby don't understand that. They don't see it that way. They don't understand that because they're thinking, my thinking's sanctified. Theirs is selfish.
Right.
Mine is for the whole. Theirs is for themselves. Y'all with me?
Yes.
I see their logic. You know, I understand their feelings. But I can't apologize because I see the whole picture and they don't. And if they'll come to me, you know, I had a lady, a wonderful lady, come to our church, another church we pastored over at Victory, a lady came and we needed a piano player, and this woman had been playing the piano for like 27 years. She was a very respectable woman, very classy woman, you know, and Southern Baptist woman, and her and her husband started coming because her grandkids started riding the bus, and I preached real hard one day, and I called out names, Leroy Jenkins, and I could tell it kind of, they're not used to that. Southern Baptists are not used to that. And after church on the way out, she said, "I need to talk to you." I said, "Okay." And she said, "Well, I need to talk to you about your preaching." I said, "I don't talk to people about my preaching. I talk to the Lord about my preaching." I said, "If you got a problem with my preaching, you might just better find someplace else to go." And so she came in, sat down. I said, "I'm going to let you." I said, "I don't normally talk to people about my preaching, but since this is your first time and your family started coming here, let's go." So she talked about it. And she named names that I named. She said, "That ain't right." I said, "Show me in the Bible where that's not right." I said, "My Bible tells me I'm supposed to point out error and apostasy and these things." And she'd never heard that. Her logic was, here's a preacher attacking preachers. Her logic was not, here's a pastor trying to defend his sheep and keep the wolves away.
Amen. Yeah.
And she settled with it. And I said, "Let me pray for you." And when I got through praying, she said, "Now let me pray for you." And she prayed for me. Amen. But see, going into that room, we thought different. Coming out, we thought alike. We had strife going in, but we didn't have any strife coming out.
Amen. Yeah.
Now, people get mad and leave this church, and they never tell me why I left church. And here's what it is. They had an expectation of me or you, and they did not get that desire fulfilled. So therefore, they were offended or hurt, and we, because they didn't think the way we thought about something. Maybe it's something personal, maybe it's something general. And therefore, they were offended, and strife rose, and instead of facing the strife, they just left. You know, people get offended. People's come to me and said, "Well, preacher, you hurt my feelings because you gave a job to somebody that I wanted." And I said, "Well, there's two things about this. The Lord told me, I pray about that, and I prayed about it, and I asked him." I said, "The other thing was, I didn't know you wanted to do anything. You never told me you wanted to do anything." And they wanted something good. That's something good, that somebody wants to do something for the Lord, do something in church. That's a good thing. That's a good desire. God may have put that desire on their heart, but I didn't know it. It'd be like your wife coming to you and say, "You don't love me like I think you'll love me." Well, tell me how I'm supposed to love you. Maybe I can do it. Or a husband coming and saying, "Well, you don't cook this the way I thought you ought to cook it." Or vice versa with you two. And she said, "Well, tell me how you want it cooked and I'll know." Yeah. His would say, "Cook it yourself." Then there would be strife. See, you might not see my logic, and I know what's needed as a pastor for the whole better than you do.
Amen. Yep.
If I worked for you, I would expect you to look at the whole picture and see it better than the employer. And then if you told me what to do, I would do it and there'd be no strife. But if you had expectations of me to do something and I didn't do it and you fired me or wrote me up, there would be strife. Is that simple enough?
Amen.
Here's the problem. Unsanctified, selfish motives cause strife. Philippians 2:14, and preaching overtime does too. Philippians 2:14, but boy, I preached overtime this morning. I kept trying to find a place to unhook and couldn't find it. Philippians 2:14, we may have had a misunderstanding with all these people out because of my preaching too long this morning. Philippians 2:14, do all things without murmurings and disputings. He didn't say if you feel like it. That's not just in the choir, Holroyd. That's not just in the choir. That's the whole church. And I would say it's not just in the church. It's at the house.
Amen.
In the marriage. In the family. On the job. Do all things. Does it say accept anywhere there? Accept. No. Do all things without murmuring and disputing. Now look at Ephesians chapter 4 and we'll finish. Ephesians chapter 4 verse 30. Ephesians chapter 4 verse 30. And grieve not the Holy Spirit of God, whereby you are sealed unto the day of redemption.
Amen.
Let all bitterness and wrath and anger and clamor. You know what clamor is, don't you? I don't know why I did that. That's clamor. And evil speaking be put away from you with all malice. Malice means you want to get even. And be ye kind one to another, tender-hearted, forgiving one another, even as God for Christ's sake hath forgiven you.
Amen.
That is a cure for strife. In the home, in the marriage, on the job, down at the schoolhouse, over at the church house, that is the cure. Let all bitterness and wrath and anger and clamor and evil speaking be put away from you with all malice. Be ye kind one to another, tender-hearted, forgiving one another, even as God for Christ's sake hath forgiven you. You don't want to have strife. Don't have unattainable expectations. You want to be rich? Don't have unattainable expectations. Live with what God's given you.
Amen.
That's why he says that you're to live with the wife of your youth and you're to be satisfied with the wife of your youth. That's why people are married 4 or 5 times. Every one of those, they had expectations of their spouse that their spouse did not know about and could not meet. So they had strife. That's why people change churches so much. They have unattainable expectations, desires. He'll give you desires you are. These are not God's desires. It's their selfish desires of churches and the people in the church and the pastor of the church and the church and the pastor cannot meet those expectations or desires because God didn't put them there. They were selfish desires and they get mad and go to another church. And it's like one guy said one time, what difference does it make which church you lay out of? Amen. Just keep moving your letter. Amen. Amen. Now, look. We want everybody to think like we think and they can't do it.
Amen.
So we're disappointed. We want everybody to see it the way we see it and they can't. Sometimes my wife talks to me and I nod my head, but I just can't see it, but I love her, so I'm going to do whatever she says. And sometimes I'm sure she does the same thing to me. Amen?
Amen.
And sometimes women talk about their feelings I have never had. And I feel sorry for them. But I don't think like that, you know. And so I'm kind. I try to be kind, tenderhearted. And then when I get selfish and self-centered, I get mean. And those unattainable expectations, I didn't get what I wanted, so I get ill. You ever done that, Jeff? Get ill. I used to break things. I don't break things anymore. I got too old to punch holes in the wall and break things. You know, I hit a 2x4 one time, found out sheetrock's a whole lot easier to break than 2x4s. But I used to go to church and I didn't know any better. Nobody ever taught me anything, Brother Billy. I didn't know. And I had expectations of the pastor that he could not fulfill. He would never be able to live up to my expectations. Nobody will live up to your expectations because that's you. You're the one that should be living up to your expectations and not expecting everybody else to do what you're supposed to be doing. And you, then God will put His desires in your heart. And then when you pray, He'll give you what you want because He put the desire there in the first place.
Amen.
And then you won't have any strife. And I can drive a four-cylinder Yugo and be happy. And a lot of y'all don't know what a Yugo is. It's equal to what's one of those little Ford? That what's that? What?
Ford Fiesta.
Ford Fiesta. It's equal to a Ford. You had one. I bet your desires were disappointed. There ain't no doubt about that. But listen, if God put that in your heart, you can do it. Hey. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. And if I'll surrender my motives, let Him sanctify my motives, I won't have near the strife in my life. Now, other people may have strife with me, but I won't have strife with them. And that's the message. That's the message. How not to have strife. Let's stand. Father, thank You for Your word.